In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about church problems. And would you believe that Linda Myers, who is my producer and director and my boss, she tells me, I find this very hard to believe, but she says that the number one reason that people leave a church is over arguments on the color of the carpet. If the church is in a building or remodeling process, huge arguments erupt over the color of the carpet or the color of the choir robes. I guess they have to be coordinated, don't they? Well, if we're that petty, if we are that small-minded, if we are that determined to have our own way over such a triviality as the color of a carpet, God help us all. If ever there were one obvious, glaring example of an opportunity for true Christians to lay down their preferences, it would be in that sort of area. What difference does it make to God what color the carpet is? If it doesn't make a very big difference to God, why should it make any difference at all to me? We're talking about church problems. It is a matter of very deep grief to many of us. The awful deeds that are committed in the name of Christ, so often by pastors and people who bear the most solemn responsibility before God to set an example for the flock. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, "Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." I'm not a preacher. I don't ever want to be a preacher. But God has given me a trust in the privilege of broadcasting. Will you pray? I know that I have been entrusted with the secret things of God. I know that it is required in me that I be found faithful. Faithful in the place where nobody's looking. Faithful in the place that God knows about. Paul's faithfulness as a spiritual father is illustrated here in this same chapter, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 to 21. He says, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit?" Remember that Paul was an apostle. He was charged with the very solemn responsibility of founding and directing these churches. And he is able to say in all honesty and, I believe, humility before God, "Imitate me." I wish I could say that. I wish I could tell my listeners, just do what I do. Live your life the way I live mine. I can't do that. I'm not that exemplary, but that's what I aim at. It certainly is. Now, if one were to have the courage to take Paul's line nowadays, this line that I just read you, there would be loud cries of harshness, insensitivity, and judgmentalism. In chapter 5, in 1 Corinthians, he says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you're proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present with you, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord." You can see by that passage that Paul takes sin seriously. And if the church is going to be the church, a place of light and truth that stands without compromise for what God says, there has to be discipline in the church. Very little of that is being done nowadays. My brother-in-law, Jim Elliott's brother, Bert Elliott, has seen many, many little churches in Peru, in the jungles and in the high Andes, where they have actually carried out these scriptural instructions of discipline. At times, they have asked a man to leave the church until he is repentant. And I ask my brother-in-law, how often has this resulted in reconciliation and restoration? And he said, about 95% of the time. But in this country, we would say, oh my, you would just be destroying that man spiritually. You'd never see him again. He would never darken the doors of the church again. Wouldn't he? Maybe obedience to God would have results that we can't even imagine. Please don't write me any letters asking me to spell out how 1 Corinthians 5, 1-5 should be implemented in your church. I can't tell you, but there it is, clear in black and white. Discipline is required. Christians are not perfect, but we are forgiven. And we know that we are constantly in need of correction and instruction and cleansing and forgiveness. We're bound to forgive our brother 70 times 7. Maybe that means 490 times for the same sin. We are bound to forgive him. We are not to keep bitterness and resentment in our hearts. Wherever there are human beings, we are bound to have a restricted outlook and narrowness of judgment. The deepest tragedy is that the name of Christ is dragged through the mud. The divine word is misused and misinterpreted and ignored and shredded. These are the saddest wounds in the body of Christ. Another source of conflict, in addition to the sad moral collapse of so many, the authority of Christ and human liberty. Supernatural revelation is not human wisdom, but it is the word of God given from above. Whatever God has said, we are to obey humbly and faithfully. We can't dismiss the less palatable parts because we don't feel comfortable. How often we hear that expression, well, I don't really feel comfortable with that. Can you imagine that the Apostle Paul felt comfortable about telling a church that they should turn a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? I imagine that was agony to the Apostle Paul. I'm sure it must have been extremely difficult for him to do. But he was faithful to his charge, faithful to his spiritual responsibility. Perhaps the most pervasive and besetting sin of churchgoers, at least the kind of churchgoers that I know, is criticism of the pastor. I wish I had the opportunity to ask them, how much praying do you do for him? How much encouragement does he get from you? He's our shepherd, which means pastor, which means that we're His sheep. We are a flock under His authority, called by God to this place, to this man, to listen humbly to the word as he preaches. Submission has to come in here. That word that so few of us are prepared to even consider. Meekness understands the power of patience and of prayer and the futility of using massive methods against him. Did you know that the average stay of a pastor in one particular denomination is 1.5 years? They either resign, or they're kicked out, or they flake out, or they drop out, or something. 1.5 years. What kind of long-term work can a pastor do with his flock if he only stays 1.5 years? And if the sheep send the shepherd out of the fold, there will be chaos in the flock. The sheep will be scattered. We need to learn the meekness and the power of patience and prayer. Impatience makes us hard. No humility will be wrought in us if we aren't prepared to wait for God's time. No new opportunity for faith to grow. What are the problems in your church? I don't know. Have you prayed about them? Have you done more praying than you have talking to other people? We need to get down on our knees on behalf of our pastors.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.